All right, if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to turn them to Matthew. We're going to be looking at chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. But before we hear that read to us today, I wanted to welcome you to the Sermon on the Mount. Hello! This is the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. It's really Jesus' kind of swan song sermon. It includes all the biggies. We've got the Beatitudes. We've got the Lord's Prayer. We've got the Golden Rule. We've got all these sayings that you would recognize, even if you might not know they're part of the Sermon on the Mount. They've just got a ring to them that you've got a hunch that they're probably kind of Jesus-y, right? I mean, that's kind of what's going on in this whole three-chapter chunk. This part of the sermon, Jesus is kind of going after the hypocrites in his midst, the kind of self-centered folks that are saying, hey, look at me, look at how good I am, you know, and I pray so often, and oh, I should be thanked for that, and all of these kind of things. And he's saying, you know what, you guys need to reconsider what it is that is valuable, not only to your community, but to the divine. And he ends up this whole thing with kind of the famous bumper sticker. You've heard it before. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You may have heard some version of that before. And if the goal is to store up treasures in heaven, I mean, what does that mean? Where is that going? I mean, how do you do that? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's listen to our passage from Matthew 6.
Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Let's pray. Loving and gracious Spirit, we give you thanks for these words of wisdom that come to us from across the ages, from encouragement and advice from the one whom we follow. May we hear these words for our lives today in a way that works their way into our hearts and prepare us to continue to take more steps towards being more fully, in every way, followers of the one we call Jesus. We gather in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, once upon a time, there was an attorney, a lawyer, who had the unfortunate name of Strange. And when he died, his friends got together and they tried to decide what they were going to put on his tombstone. And so they talked about it and talked about, and they finally came to the guy that was going to be carving whatever it was going to be into the tombstone, and they decided this is what they wanted. Here lies Strange, an honest man and a lawyer. They thought that covered it all, you know? But the guy that was doing the inscription said, you know, that could be dangerous because people just walking by, here lies Strange, comma, an honest man, comma, and a lawyer, they might think there are three guys buried there, right? Three separate guys, because it couldn't possibly be the same. And so they went back and forth and argued and argued, and finally the guy that was doing the inscription suggested the following. He said, why don't you try this? Here lies a man who was both honest and a lawyer. And then inevitably, as people walk by and see that inscription, they're going to say, that's strange. You know, we've been talking the last few weeks about how to be a good dead person. And the first two facets that we've talked about, that of being limited, that it's good that we're limited because it's motivation to get something positive done in this life, and that we need to prepare for end of life and what that means. Both of those things are things that require planning on our part, and that's what we've been talking about. You got to plan. This step is the only one that you can achieve without any planning whatsoever, and that's leaving a legacy. Whether you plan it or not, you are going to leave a legacy. The question is, what kind of legacy do you want to leave? What do you want to be remembered for? Perhaps one of the most famous posings of this question comes in Dickens' Christmas Carol. You probably know it well. The ghost of Jacob Marley comes to Ebenezer Scrooge and gives him a glimpse of what his fate is going to be, what his legacy is going to be unless he changes his way of being and his way of life. And in our passage today, Jesus does his very best Jacob Marley impersonation. He says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." But really, what is that all about? I mean, that's woo. So let's talk about it. What are treasures on earth? I mean, they're pretty simple when you break it down. Anything that is vulnerable to being ruined, lost, broken, stolen. What could he mean by storing up? Well, we're not talking about prudent stewardship here. We're looking out for the future. We're talking about hoarding, because that's what we do. We are afraid of not having enough. We're afraid of not being secure, so we hoard all kinds of stuff. And it's really a temptation to make an idol out of things. So we're supposed to store up treasure in heaven, which means give more money to the church, right? Wrong! It doesn't mean give more money to the church. Well, yes, it could mean that. It could very well mean that. But I think of it this way. What can you do to invest in priorities that are inspired by your commitment of being a disciple of Jesus? What are your priorities? What are your passions that bubble up out of being a disciple of Jesus? And can you invest in that? So think of it this way. Most of us require some kind of assistance along the way. You know, be it physical or financial or spiritual, maybe a local church or a food bank supplied meals for you during a tough time. Maybe like me, you were the recipient of a scholarship that made going to college possible. Maybe you've been the recipient of an act of kindness, or maybe you've been a participant in a program of personal enrichment, or the beneficiary of some medical research. Or maybe you've been given sanctuary in a domestic abuse shelter. Or maybe you've been inspired by a quality arts or music program. And how many of these programs and advances are possible without the generosity of those who have laid up their treasures beyond themselves? Not many. People who have chosen to leave a legacy are those that reflect their priorities and their passions and propel them into the future. Earlier this year, our family went to visit Laura's 99-year-old aunt, Aunt Adelie, in northern Arkansas. And every year we go and we hang out at her little house in Sydney. And it's been getting a bit nerve-wracking. You know, even in Sydney, population 75, when Adelie gets out on the road in her big Lincoln and she's driving like this, you know, at 99, it's a bit worrisome. So this year, the visit was a little different because family have moved her now into a care facility. And when we arrived, her whole house was packed up. Her car was ready. The house was ready. The property, all of her possessions were packed up, ready for the auction, which was happening the next week. And it was a tough time to be there and see this transition. But when we were at the nursing home, Adelie took the three kids aside, and they all kind of got really close to her, and she said, "I want you all to go to the house, and I want you to look around, and I want you to find something that you want, that you, it's yours. You take it so that you can remember me by." And so it was really something to go to the house and see the kids kind of going around and seeing what it was that they wanted to remember Adelie by. And we came home with a painting, beautiful painting by one of Adelie's relatives from the 19th century. We came home with a ceramic dog, and we came home with a necklace. And they are all beautiful things that the kids treasure and can remember their Aunt Adelie by. Now, that's a beautiful way to be remembered. It's personal and it's intimate. But there are other ways too. And over the years, it has been a constant surprise to me as a leader of a nonprofit organization as to who does, and more surprising, who doesn't make plans to leave a legacy beyond their immediate family. Say to their alma mater, or to their church, or to some other nonprofit. It really doesn't matter. But it's shocking to me, the people that have not thought ahead enough to make that kind of plan. There's a group called Leave a Legacy, and it's a public awareness campaign designed basically to inspire people just like us to make a charitable bequest. Now, bequests are just one type of planned gift that can be made to the organizations that you value. And when it comes to funding these efforts to make a positive difference in the world, it doesn't matter the size of the gift. They can be large. They can be small. Charitable giving is not for just the wealthy. People from all walks of life can make a difference in the lives of those who follow after them through all kinds of different giving. So I want to show you a clip from Leave a Legacy.
Hello, my name is Bill Cobbs. I'd like to tell you about a few people who have made an extraordinary difference in the lives of others. People who exemplify the Leave a Legacy mission. They made sure to remember in their wills the causes they held dear during their lifetimes. And now, their legacies live on. In her life, Leah McCartney broke down barriers. Leah was the first African-American woman to earn a law degree from the George Washington University School of Law. And she went on to become the first female judge in her community. Even though she died in 1984, her name and love of education live on. The Judge Leah B. McCartney Scholarship helps two students every year realize their dreams of going to college. Tom and Dorothy Morris of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, had no children, but lavished their love on animals, especially cats. When Tom and Dorothy passed away, they left their life savings to establish scholarships for aspiring veterinarians. Today, their request provides several scholarships every year. Jack Eggers worked most of his life as an elementary school janitor and was beloved by all who knew him. In 2003, Jack fell ill with an aggressive brain tumor. He had lived a quiet, modest life, blessing those around him with simple acts of encouragement and love. But Jack had one last blessing to give. He left every penny he had saved through his lifetime to his school, church, and community foundation. Today you can hear the laughter of children playing on the Jack Eggers Memorial Playground and see them growing in wisdom in the updated school library. These wonderful people have continued to make a difference for others, even when their love can only be fondly remembered in our hearts. These true stories remind us that we all have something to share, that we can make a difference in the lives that follow. Make a difference. Include a gift to your favorite charity in your will or estate plan. To find out how, visit leavealegacy.org.
A great group, and I encourage you to go to their website to help you figure out ways that you might do something like that. And it doesn't take much to find out that according to research just recently done, only around 8% of people choose to support causes and organizations that are making important differences in their community through planned giving. Only 8%. That is it. Well, I have children. I have relatives. Shouldn't I leave my entire estate to them? No. No, you should not. How can I say it again? No. The truth is that depending on the current tax laws, leaving a gift to charity in your will may actually reduce the tax burden that your heirs will face. Now, I'm not an expert on this, but I have been told that the tax laws are changing big time. Here come January 1st, 2011. And so if you're planning to die soon, you need to do it before December 31st. Because there's a big advantage tax-wise to die before December 31st. You should, however, before that, consult with a financial advisor or an attorney for the details. But the bottom line is this. There are nearly 300 million of us Americans. Around 2 million of us die every year. And in 2004, only 42% of adults had even wills at all. And that's down 5% from 2000. So I'm not sure what's going on, but I think people are in denial. Most people say that they want to have some sort of a legacy, but and even if they don't say it, everybody wants to be remembered. We all want to be remembered because that means that our lives have had meaning and significance to someone other than ourselves. And the sad thing is that most people don't leave a legacy other than having not left a legacy. Most people, the largest group, is going to be remembered through occasional visits to their tombstone and memorials, and maybe from a house or some money that is left to loved ones, which sooner than you think gets depleted and disappears. But there are all kinds of ways that you can, how do you say, guarantee eternal life. And I don't mean some woo-woo spiritual thing. I just mean that you can live on posthumously through something you have created or left behind. You need to talk to someone, a specialist, your attorney, your financial advisor, someone from your favorite nonprofit organization, and learn as much as you can about how you can give to those groups. Because one of the most important things that you want to consider as you think about leaving a legacy is your ego. You don't want to forget that. You want to remember that there's something going on beyond your passing. You can do all kinds of things, like leave a gift. You can leave an endowment. You can leave a gift trust or an annuity. You can create a memorial fund someplace. The important thing is for you to do it. But if I start to think about that, if I start to plan for that kind of thing, it means that I'm going to have to think about the fact that I might die. Well, get over it. You're going to die. You are going to die. And the question is, are you going to be a good dead person? Or are you just going to be dead? John Wallach was an award-winning author and journalist, and he was not a rich man. Here's a picture of he and his wife and two sons. But in 1993, he was able to found a group called Seeds of Peace to provide an opportunity for the children of war to plant the seeds for a more secure future. And you can look on the front of your worship guide, and there's a little bit more, some pictures of some of the kids and a little bit more background on the group. And despite all of his awards and accomplishments, which were numerous, one of the most lasting achievements of his life is one that has outlived him and continues to grow in effectiveness and impact on the world. And that's the Seeds of Peace organization, which started with just 46 Israeli, Palestinian, and Egyptian kids. And now, since 1993, it has expanded to include young leaders from South Asia, Cyprus, the Balkans, and other war-torn places. And its leadership network of young leaders encompasses 4,300-plus kids. Beginning with a summer camp in Maine, they bring these kids together. And then the program continues throughout the year in their local regions with meetings and conferences and workshops and training in how to negotiate and how to communicate, to build empathy and build respect and confidence. And it equips them as young leaders essentially to undermine the previous generation's resistance to working for peace, to undermine their parents' resistance at coexistence and reconciliation. John Wallach has left an incredible legacy. What about you? What's your legacy? It doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to have a global impact like John Wallach's Seeds of Peace. But with all of our little efforts together, combined, it can make an amazing difference in the lives of people. This summer, our annual conference had a speaker who told us that there were two major reasons why people don't go out of their way to leave money to a nonprofit, be it their church or some other nonprofit. The first reason is that the church doesn't ask. The second is that people don't trust the church to handle their money effectively. Well, today, I'm asking. And it's going to be the first ask, because it's going to go on. And I want to assure you that we have worked very hard at the Fountains to get everything in order financially, to show that we can be good stewards of your gifts. And on top of that, we have our own foundation. Dean Anderson, who usually attends First Service, has organized. We have our own The Fountains Foundation that runs through the Desert Southwest Foundation that is prepared, ready now, to receive your gifts, endowments, bequests, annuities, what have you. The world, it's a-changing. I don't know if you've noticed out there. There are churches that are closing left and right. And unless we get creative with funding, churches and the nonprofits that we support and care about are going to be more and more crippled in their ability to do what you think, because you support them, is important. We're going to try in a small way to help you prepare for laying up some treasure in heaven. On Wednesday, November 10th at 4 o'clock, for those of you that aren't working at that hour, we've got representatives from the Desert Southwest Foundation that are going to be here to tell you and answer your questions all about annuities and bequests and everything that you can do to help get yourself set up to leave a legacy, be it with the Fountains or another nonprofit that you value. And if you look at the net worth of the people here at this church, I mean, I don't think it's any problem at all, not a stretch at all, to set up as a goal that in that foundation, 10 years from now, in 2020, that we have $1 million. That's not going to be a problem at all. And so all we need to do is figure out whether we have the will to do it or not. Well, what's it going to support? You know, there are some people in this church that think summer camp scholarship for kids are important. So do you think we can fund a scholarship for every single kid in our church? Do you think it'd get big enough that we could fund scholarships for kids beyond our local church as well? You know, someone here in this church thinks that the Stephen ministry makes a difference in people's lives so much that the training sessions up to this point have all been funded so far. Do you think we can fund that for years to come? Someone here at the Fountains thinks that it's important to reach out to at-risk kids in Fountain Hills who need healthy food and constructive activities during our school breaks when they don't have anything else to do. Do you think we could be a group of people that could make that happen? We have a wonderful music program. We have great piano player and singers and Jason leading the choir. That's not a guaranteed thing. I mean, can we perhaps fund a music program through some creative way of endowment? There are all kinds of things that we can do, and it depends on what your passion is, because we're going to tap into what you think is important. And the most important thing for our stream of thought is today is for you to think of is what's your legacy? What's it going to be? What can you do to invest in the priorities and passions that are inspired by your commitment in following Jesus? I got to tell you, this is an amazingly generous congregation. You already know that. And I have to say that some of you noticed that we had in our worship guide over the last few weeks the need of one of our youth who needed an extra $1,200 to make a trip to Washington, D.C. with her civics class, an honors trip. But she was $1,200 short. And when someone in this service saw that that was a need, fronted up and wrote a check for $1,200, just like that. We can tap in to people's passions. We can see where people's excitement is for what is important to them. And there are all kinds of examples, left and right, of individuals who are so generous with their resources, going beyond anything that we could imagine to lay up their treasures in heaven. And I hope that for you, that means thinking about more than today and looking ahead towards leaving a legacy. Some of you know that I occasionally give in to my urge to do a top 10 list, David Letterman style. So I want to do that today. Here from, to close, from the home office in Nazareth of Galilee, the top 10 reasons to leave a legacy. Are you ready? I don't have a drum roll, but here it comes. Number 10, you'll continue to make a difference after you're gone. Number 8, hang on a second, let's see. Number 7, number 6, number 5, yeah, number 4, number 3. Wow, okay, what's the number one reason for leaving a legacy? Can we do it together? You'll continue to make a difference after you're gone. That's what it is all about. And I want you just to imagine with me, how can you be a good dead person? How? By leaving a legacy. And I want you to picture this with me. Jesus' face coming up on the screen right now, satellite downlink live, and he says, "I'm Jesus Christ, and I approved this message." Amen.